Walking in Grace with Matthew and Whitney.
Hello, good morning. Let's get you a better view of Mrs. Moody.
Meh. Not necessary.
I hope everybody had a good week. Is having a good weekend. And I'm glad y'all can join us or are able to watch it. Whitney, how was your week? We'll just start off with a little convo.
Oh, okay. Well, we had a good morning.
We did have a good morning.
Yeah.
You want to tell everybody why?
Well, we went to look at a house last night, as we've done 17 million times and have not been able to find anything that we like. And we had an offer that was accepted this morning, so that was cool.
Yeah. We're pretty excited about it, if you can't tell. Yeah, it's a huge step for us. We bought a house in Kentucky when we first got married.
I liked that house.
It was a really nice house. It was a weird layout. It was...
I actually liked it once we got in there. I liked the layout.
We had a big barn and everything in the house in Kentucky. But we didn't live together full time because Whitney was here half the time with her son and I was in Kentucky full time, and it sucked. So I ended up moving here. We sold the house in Kentucky, and we've been living in the house that she's been in for 37 years. So we just...
Wait, I'm 38 tomorrow.
I know. I was about to announce that. Tomorrow's Whitney's birthday, so everybody drop a comment. Yep. Say, happy birthday, Whitney.
No, you don't need to. It doesn't count after.
It does count.
It's not exciting.
I may be coughing a little bit today. I've been sick yesterday. Felt like absolute garbage yesterday. But today I'm feeling a whole lot better. So, we're going to push through this. I may clear my throat quite a bit, but I got a couple drinks, so we'll be all right.
Let's do it.
All right, so jumping in, Galatians chapter 6. In this final chapter of Galatians, we see Paul's last writings to the Galatians.
Should we pray?
We will.
Oh, okay.
He's explaining the significance of following the wrong gospel and the wrong people and how it's wrong to follow the old law. We're under a new gospel now. We are to follow the gospel that was handed down to Paul directly from Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Now, if you would like to pray, Whitney.
No, you can pray. You're the man. You're the man.
I'm the man. All right, let's go the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we come to you and we want to thank you for just allowing us this... First off, for untying my tongue and for allowing us this opportunity to spread your word. Even if it just reaches one person, wow, today's going to be rough. Even if our podcast or video only reaches one person, it's one more person that knows the true word of God. So thank you for giving us that chance. We praise you in all things, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, let's see if we can get through this, yeah?
Good luck.
Yeah, thanks. You're going to be here to help me.
Okie dokie.
All right, so Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. There are only 18 verses in this chapter, so we'll be breaking down a lot of the verses. So let's get started. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault or a sin, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We as Christians are to try to help... Oh my goodness, this is going to be rough. We as Christians are here. We are... We as Christians are to try to help fellow Christians restore themselves when they have fallen victim to sin. We aren't just to stand back and watch. We are to help them right themselves. We aren't to we aren't to shun sinners. We're not here to degrade sinners. We're not here to talk bad about them. We're not here to tell them, oh, you're not allowed in our church because you sin. You're not allowed in our church because you're gay. You're not allowed in our church because you have a horrible profession. You're a stripper, whatever. We're to welcome them in. We're to help them right themselves. You see, all the time, these old Christians, by the way, I'm not condoning any of those things. That's not what this is about. What this is about is we are to love as though God loves. So just because somebody sins doesn't mean that we don't allow them to meet God. We don't bring them to God. We are to bring them to God. We are no better than anybody else. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are worthy at all by our own works. We all do the wrong thing. Not always, but we do wrong things all the time. We sin constantly. What makes you better than anybody else? You see all the time these older Christians who have been living by the law, essentially, and they want to shun people who sin, who are they're trying to come into the church for the first time ever, but because they're not dressed like they want them to be dressed, or they know what they do outside of the church or whatever, they don't want them in the church. They don't want to talk to them. They don't want to welcome them. That's not what God wants. He wants all people to know Him. He wants all people to worship Him. It's not an ego thing. I'm not better than you. Whitney's not better than you. Nobody's better than anybody. And the sooner that we accept that as people, as Christians, the better off the body of Christ will be. Growing up in church, I've seen it so much. If you're not dressed the way that we expect you to be dressed, if you don't act the way we expect you to act, if you don't look a certain way, then what are you doing here?
Yeah, there's a lot of judgment.
Oh my gosh, it's full of judgment. It's not our place to judge people. Is it our place to help people right their sins? Yes. But if they don't want to right their sins, it's not your problem. I mean,
people are too concerned about what others are doing.
Yes. Yes.
Instead of focusing on making their life better and focusing on what they can change themselves.
Yeah. We're to restore each other, such as one in the spirit of meekness. What's done is done. We all make mistakes in life. We need to watch out for each other.
Well, one thing to note about sin is that sin is all the same.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what type of sin it is a sin.
There's no one sin greater than the other.
God doesn't say, well, it's only okay to do these sins, but not okay to do these sins. That's not how it works. A sin is a sin. And I think that's where a lot of people who are actually atheists get stuck on.
Yeah.
My sister especially, and my grandpa did too. They think, well, if a murderer, and she's told me this, if a murderer or a rapist or a child molester can be saved and go to heaven, what kind of God is that?
Yeah.
She's said that to me. That's her big thing about
I haven't done any of that stuff.
Yeah, she's like, I'm a good person. In whose eyes? Because you're not a good person in God's eyes.
Yep.
Unless you have Jesus' blood over you.
Yep.
Because it doesn't matter if you've murdered or if you have not murdered. It doesn't matter if you've, you know, done one sin over the next. Like, if you've committed murder but you haven't ever said a cuss word in your life, you're still going to hell if you don't believe that Jesus died for you. If you have said a cuss word in your life but never murdered, you're still going to hell. Like, it doesn't matter what type of a sin it is, it's still a sin.
Yep.
God made those rules. We didn't make them.
Who are we to try and tell God, oh no, I don't agree with what you think. I don't agree with what your word says. You're wrong. Are you more knowledgeable than God?
Yeah, it's not our decision.
Right.
And a lot of Christians get stuck on that too.
Yeah.
Not just atheists, but I think that's a big sticking point for atheists though. Like, they see somebody that's a rapist that's been saved and has turned their life around and don't think they should be forgiven, but that's not their decision to make.
Right. Yeah, it's none of this is our decision. We don't get to determine any of this. We just follow the word that God laid out for us. That's all we can do. All right, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're to bear each other's burdens just as Christ did for us. Help each other. Verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That's a very powerful verse.
You were doing good.
Wow. That is a very powerful verse, because people think that they're perfect. They are not. People think that they're so much better than other people. They're not. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There are spiritual people who like to think they are better than everyone else, and they are not at all. They think that because they go to church more than they don't, or they think that because they go to church more, that they don't sin, or that your sin is worse than theirs. Going to church doesn't take away sin. Your sin isn't any worse than any of theirs. A sin is a sin is a sin. And what are all sins? Forgiven. All sins are forgiven.
Going to church is a work. Like, you can go to church 24/7 your entire life, and if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. Sorry. The amount of work that you put in is not going to get you into heaven.
Yeah. So they're forgiven by the work of the cross. Give love, give grace. They always look at the speck in your eye and never at the log in theirs. Matthew 7:3-5. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. 3 verses, and he said it 3 times.
And one thing that you said about before that, you were talking about the speck in the log. Those are something that we've heard growing up all the time, because it's in a modern version. So this is actually what God's word says, and it's not, it doesn't sound the same. So mote is not the same as what we're used to hearing, you know, log and speck and all of the words that we're used to hearing. But I just wanted to point that out, because you said that and it triggered, like, oh, well, that's what we've heard the whole, our whole childhoods growing up, you know. But it doesn't actually say that in the Bible.
Yeah. So 3 times consecutively in 3 verses it tells you this. How important do you think it is? Sorry. I've seen so many times that people are so worried about correcting other people's sins when they are sinning just as much. Get yourself spiritually centered and then look at how you can help. Don't accuse or don't poke. Just try to help people. Helping isn't backing somebody in a corner and telling them everything that they're doing wrong. Helping is hearing, hey, can you help me with this? Or knowing that they're struggling with something and they're asking God for help, then you can help. But just forcing your way in or telling somebody everything they're doing wrong, it will not help. So
I think that's something, just to get on a personal level, that's something that I was guilty of when we have been in arguments. Like, I would focus so much on what you were doing wrong and wouldn't see what I was doing wrong. And in every argument, somebody's doing something wrong, most likely.
Yeah, you can find wrong in everything.
Yeah, it's not always one-sided. So that's something that it's really easy to do in an argument.
I think it's just human nature to be...
Well, yeah, we have a sin nature.
Defenses coming up.
We are selfish and we're sinful.
Everybody, yeah.
We are born into sin. That is our nature for sure. And that's when we've talked about this so many times. When we get into an argument, we need to stop and pray. We need to reground ourselves, realize we're on the same team. We're not trying to fight against each other. We're coming into an argument or disagreement to try and find a resolution. And that can be carried over into everything in life. And that's something that took me a long time to figure out. And like, it got much worse before it got better.
Yeah, it's happened both ways. It's not just one-sided.
So you have to stop and pray, I think, first, because we've found that when we do stop and pray, it does soften your heart. It does help you to refocus, and it helps you. It's hard to be, well, number one, it's hard to do, but it's hard to be mad at somebody that you're praying for.
Yeah.
Like, if you're genuinely praying for somebody during an argument, it's hard to say a prayer and then go back to being angry. It's hard to do, but it's also hard to say that prayer.
Yeah, it is.
So it takes a lot to do that. But in the long run, like, do you want it to have a good outcome or don't you?
Right.
Something that we need to focus on, too.
Yep.
Personal.
All right, verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. He rejoices because he knows he did right. He knows that God is happy with what he has done. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. We bear our own burden. But that doesn't mean we can't be there for our brothers and sisters to help them bear theirs. You're not alone. If you need help, reach out. If you want to talk to us, shoot us a message. Drop a comment. Email us. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. There is simply no substitute for clear and effective communication. And that's another personal. Clear and effective communication is key to everything. Not everything, but a lot of things.
Pretty much everything.
Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you sow in the flesh, you also reap. You sow a seed, and you reap a harvest. Your return is whatever you put into your crop. Now listen to this. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap everlasting life. Which would you rather have? Corruption and hell, or everlasting life?
And I think that's talking about salvation specifically, not like you, not that you're not going to have everlasting life if you live a fleshly life after you're saved.
Right.
Because God doesn't go back on his word. Once you're sealed, you are sealed. But
once you're saved, you're sealed.
Did I say sealed, you're sealed?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, which is true. I mean, once you're sealed, you're sealed.
I meant to say that. But we've seen in the previous chapter where it says that we're not supposed to sin. Yeah. God still
You're supposed to
instructs us not to sin.
It's not a requirement not to sin. However, you want to live your life for God. Like you should want to have that conscience in your head that tells you you shouldn't be doing that. And you should listen to that conscience because
other people are watching too.
Well, yeah, but that means you're living for Christ. If you're not living for Christ, then why are you doing this, I guess?
And you do, so there's a lot of misconstrued verses in the Bible about your rewards in heaven, and they're not typically what the normal Christian thinks. Your rewards in heaven are based on your studying.
Yeah, your knowledge.
And your knowledge, your wisdom.
Not on how many sins you've committed.
The Bible. Your sins aren't even addressed because they were already addressed.
Yep, they were already forgiven.
God does not see... He doesn't look at you and see sin because you're covered by Jesus' blood. That it's that powerful where it's going to cover you. And if you don't believe that, then I urge you to go back and study what the crucifixion was and what it meant. And there are so many verses in the Bible that say sins are washed away. Washed away means gone.
So the best way I've heard it stated with as far as our sins go, and it I've been trying so hard to figure out how to explain it. And when I saw this, it hit perfectly with how I wanted to explain it. We're automatically forgiven at the cross, but you have to claim it. Jesus died on the cross for all men. It is like a prescription from the pharmacy. If you don't take that medicine, you can't get cured. So we're already forgiven if you claim it.
Well, it can also be explained like if I went by Dollar General and they had a get a free cupcake if you buy a Diet Coke. And that cupcake is for everybody who buys a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
You have to, quote, buy into what God did for you by sending Jesus to die for you. Gift. Otherwise, that free thing that is yours is not yours anymore because you didn't go claim it.
Right.
So there's things everywhere that are free that you could just take. That doesn't mean it's free for you because you haven't gotten it. You didn't go get it.
Yeah.
Same thing with salvation. It's free. It's out there waiting for you.
You just have to claim it.
You got to claim it, or it's not for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is for you, but it's you didn't choose it for you, is what I mean.
All right, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We're to do right to all men, especially if those who are of the household of faith. Treat others with dignity and respect. Don't think we're something we're not, and bear each other's burdens. Verse 11. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. So what Paul's saying here is he's written this long letter explaining to the people of Galatia that these people who are teaching them now and what they are believing is false. He says that these people want them to put themselves back under the law and be circumcised, so that they can get the glory. They constrain the Galatians with preaching the law, which will prevent these people from being saved. And it will prevent these disciples from being persecuted by preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. These people are preaching the incorrect gospel. So, they don't want to be persecuted for teaching the correct gospel, so they're teaching the old law. That's essentially what it's talking about. Okay.
Hi.
They're scared. They don't want to take that leap of faith and preach the correct gospel. So they're standing back preaching the old gospel, which does nothing for these people of Galatia. All right, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. We aren't born again. We're a new creature. There's a difference. You hear born again with a lot of Christians, but that is for the kingdom gospel. That's for Israel. We aren't in the kingdom gospel. We are the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We are a new creature. Born again means that you're still the same creature, the same person, you just reborn. New creature means you're something completely different. We're part of the body of Christ.
Body of Christ is not mentioned in anywhere but Paul's epistles.
All right, Matthew 4:23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So, this is, if you remember in a previous video podcast that we've done, we talked about Jesus was sent only for the lost sheep of Israel. That's it. So when Jesus is saying that he was there to preach the gospel of the kingdom, he's saying he was there to preach to Israel.
He's addressing Israel.
Only Israel. I know in the last verse it says that the kingdom gospel shall be preached in all the world, but that's because in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the first part of Acts, you would have to convert to being a Jew in order to be saved under the kingdom gospel. And not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the beginning of Acts, but the Old Testament. If you want to be saved, you had to be converted to a Jew. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now here's where it's first being known that the Gentiles are not included in everlasting life, and where art. Yeah, so Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have spoken to you, Israel, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So Acts 13 is saying, we tried with Israel. God said, since Israel has decided that they don't deserve everlasting life, we're going to flip it and reverse it and give it to the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles have their own gospel, Gentiles being non-Israel, and now we have everlasting life. We have the opportunity for a free trip to everlasting life. We just have to accept it.
And it doesn't mean just the Gentiles.
Right.
It's opened up to everybody. So that was, Israel had their own program. And then after the fall of everything, then after the crucifixion, and then years later, then he introduces the new gospel to Paul. And at that time, now it's opened up to everybody. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no circumcision anymore. There's no nothing. It's everybody is included now. Yep. It's a worldwide, if you will, nationwide. What's the word I'm trying to look for?
I don't know. Worldwide is
non-denominational.
No, there's no such thing as denominations and all that.
Everybody nonsense. Is included. Doesn't matter what your background is. If you were Jewish, I mean, there obviously there's a different meaning to being Jewish, but it's not only for the Jews now. Salvation is for everybody in the dispensation of grace.
That's true.
But only for a limited time, so by yep. now. But it's true. It is a limited time, and we don't know when the sale is going to stop.
Yep, that's true.
Like, this is the time to do it, because if you don't do it now, you're going to be stuck here.
Yep.
In a very, very bad time, yep. and it's going to be very, very, very difficult to be saved.
Yeah.
Almost impossible.
Verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So, that's the end of Galatians. Wow. Galatians has just been full of so much information.
Shortened to the point.
Yeah. It,
6 chapters, but it's heavy.
Yeah, it is. It's full of explaining the fact that we're not under the law. Stop putting yourselves under the law. We are given a free gift from God. All we have to do is claim it. It's the easiest thing in the world that you can do. You don't even have to change, you don't have to change your ways. If I'm being completely honest, right. You don't have to change anything. You just have to believe. Should you change? Absolutely. You should want to be a better person. You should want to show Christ through your daily life.
But you will have the Holy Spirit working in you, which does make a difference.
Yes, and absolutely.
Spiritually, supernaturally, things will happen to you that you wouldn't be able to do as a human.
Yeah. It'll change your heart.
That's because of God you're being baptized into Christ.
Yep. Not with water, because that's not a thing.
You're baptized into the crucifixion of Christ, because that's where he washed his sins for you. And you're taken there and baptized into Christ.
Yep. So, just a quick recap on the book of Galatians. We saw that Paul had gone to Galatia and preached to them the new gospel. They accepted it as words from Christ, because it was. It is. It forever will be. Then they had some people come and teach them back to the law. And so they have started following the law again, and Paul is writing them this 6-chapter letter telling them, hey, stop putting yourself back under the law. That's not the way to get to heaven. That's not the way to be saved. Live by grace. Live by faith. That's all you have to do. It's blasphemous for people to preach the incorrect word. It's blasphemous for anybody to change the words of God. It's blasphemy all over this world. We've got 8 churches in our little town of, 3,000?
Not one of them is teaching the right thing.
Oh, my goodness. Why do you need 8 different churches? How are you going to sit there and tell me that Oh, this church is right. Oh, this church is right. Oh, this church is right. None of them preach the true word. Just wake up. Pay attention to what you're reading. Study to show yourself approved.
Get the right Bible.
Yep. King James, all the way, baby.
You can't learn anything from an incorrect source.
That's true. All right. Let's close in prayer and
go on with your Sunday.
Catch y'all later. Dear God, thank you for these words from Paul. Thank you for inspiring his letters so that we could have them today. We pray that these words reach people, whatever people need to hear it, and just guide everything that we talk about and do throughout the week. We love you, and we praise you in everything. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Okie dokie.
This has been Walking in Grace with Matthew and Whitney.